Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton and I am your host. My featured guest today is Nate Skelly of Financial Pathway. Nate is a financial advisor and really expert on all things finance. He has his own podcast called the Financial Pathway Podcast, so I encourage you to check that out. And he also helps both individuals and churches alike create a financial plan that helps with retirement, getting out of debt, all types of different services that Nate offers there. And he is my personal financial advisor, and so I would highly recommend that you check out nateskelly.com to look into what Nate can offer you for either you as an individual or you as a church. Well, let's get right to my conversation with Nate Skelly. Nate, welcome back to Church Media HQ. I think it's not been long since you were on here, or it didn't feel like it's been that long. I think it was like August. I think we recorded it over the summer. So, how have things been for you lately? I guess anything major to report, if you will.
It's been a busy month, over here for us, but it's a good thing. Traveling a lot these last few weeks, saw family for Christmas, and then this month traveling to a lot of different churches, actually doing some sessions on finance. So
great,
that's been really exciting. That's been fun. So we'll actually next weekend we'll be with our friends the Delaneys. Tim and Danielle Delaney are in Dunedin, Florida. So I don't know if you know where that's at. It's like pretty close to Clearwater.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of Tampa area. Really nice area. So we'll be leaving Friday to go see them. So we're looking forward to that.
That's cool. Yeah, I would imagine this time of year people are kind of trying to get a fresh start and New Year's resolutions. And so I would imagine you're seeing some maybe increased volume in terms of interest, at least, in getting your finances in line. I mean, is that generally what you see this time of year?
Yeah, I think so. I think for a lot of people, when you think New Year's resolutions, like diet and exercise is number one, but probably finances number two. I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy.
Me neither.
I've made some in the past. I don't really typically like go into the new year like, man, boom, I just list out.
Da, da, da.
But there were a couple things that I really wanted to work on for 2020. I mean, obviously I started a new business, so a lot of my time and attention was focused on that. But just on a personal level, one thing that I really wanted to do was learn Spanish.
No way.
So my mom is Puerto Rican and Spanish is her first language, but we never learned it growing up. Which is, honestly, it's probably like one of my biggest regrets. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn Spanish. My goal wasn't like by the end of 2020, I will speak it fluently, but I was like, I'm going to be consistent about it and learn it. So I have, have you heard of Duolingo?
No.
It's a phone app. But it's really good. It's, you can learn a bunch of different languages on it. So that's been really helpful. And I'll just do Duolingo every day for like 15, 20 minutes. And then for Christmas, my parents got me these audio recordings for learning Spanish. It's called the Pimsleur method. I think it's been around for a long time, but the whole idea is like you immerse yourself in the language. You just listen to it and then repeat what you hear, because it's a lot more like how you learn a language. I mean, just like you think about how your kids learn to talk, they hear it and then they say it and they hear it. You kind of go back and forth until they get it, and then they learn a new word and it just builds incrementally. So I've been doing those as well, and that's been super helpful. But
Because I've heard of that, like these people that'll go to foreign countries and they'll go to language school, and then kind of like the final stage is they basically just throw them out in the wild. They're like, now go talk, and so how well then can you like speak/understand Spanish? Like where do you fall on the scale?
Like if I'm reading it, I can understand it usually pretty well. Like if I'm looking at a sentence, I can usually piece it together. I'm not going to know every word for sure, but I can mm-hmm. usually pick up the more common words and get a general sense for what's being mm-hmm. said. Listening to it is what's really hard. Cause when somebody's mm-hmm. talking, it's just like anything else. Like we're talking right now. If somebody's just learning English, we're talking way too fast for them to pick up on every single word, every single sentence, because it's
of course, yeah,
coming at you so fast. So that's kind of how I am. If people are talking Spanish, I'm more just kind of like, oh, I caught that word. Oh, I know that phrase. Oh, I caught that word. But like, I wouldn't be able to tell you probably what they're actually talking about because it's too
fast. Gotcha.
Kind of same thing with talking. Like if you give me time, I can probably put together a semi-cohesive sentence, but it's not quick. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to have like a back and forth conversation with somebody who speaks Spanish. It would be like, okay, give me a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this. So it's slowly but surely. I think I was too optimistic. I really thought by the end of the year, I would be able to be having like mini conversations, and I'm not there yet, but it's also because I haven't made it like a full-time thing either. I'm mm-hmm. not like spending hours on it a day.
Gotcha. Well, hey, that's still cool. I mean, in everybody's defense, your defense, I mean, I think everybody had a little bit of a brighter vision of how they'd be at the end of 2020. So I think falling short in this goal is the least of worries there. But yeah, that's cool. Hey, well, for those of you who are just joining us, this is Church Media HQ Live. We go live every Thursday afternoon. So if you're watching live with us on Facebook, you should see a link there in the post that allows you to click there and actually join our conversation. So you can actually join our Zoom call here and contribute, ask questions, share ideas. Nate, for those who may not know you, give us a little bit of just about you, about who you are, what you do.
Sure. Yeah. So I started Financial Pathway last year. That's the name of my company. But really what I would say is, to boil it down, I do financial teaching and financial planning. I'm very passionate about providing financial help and guidance from a biblical worldview. So hence a lot of the sessions that I do for churches that I was just telling you about. So like, for instance, just this past weekend, I was in the state of Washington. Dennis Fountain is the pastor mm-hmm. at Moses Lake Baptist Church. So I was there with their church this past weekend and did some sessions just on practical finance, mm-hmm. your personal finances, your investing. But then on Sunday, I did a morning message and an evening message about what the Bible says about your giving, about your saving, about your spending. Because as Christians, obviously, say we believe the Bible, and that's our guide for how we live our life. But the Bible has a lot to say on finances. So mm-hmm. So just exploring that and talking through some different principles. But then on the business side, I do financial planning and investment management for individual clients. So I've got folks that I work with really all around the country, helping them with investing their retirement accounts, planning for different financial goals, whether that's saving for college, insurance coverage, social security, paying off debt, budgeting, you name it. And just trying to give a holistic financial advice and planning to folks. So that's what I do.
Yeah. No. Well, and I mean, I will say, if I'm, I guess I'm allowed to say this, but you have helped me even with some of my financial planning and setting up retirement accounts and, college savings. Yeah. Yeah. And that I called you and was like, hey, I feel like, you ever watch Parks and Rec? How Ben Wyatt always, like, he's almost about to work for that accounting firm, or he'll work for them for like a week and quit. I feel like that's what I keep doing to you. I'm like, hey, I'm in. And then I'm like, well, wait, I'm not. Something comes up, life happens. I'm not in a place to really ramp up my contributions to my, retirement and whatnot, like I think I am and whatever. And, but you have the help that you have given, has been super helpful. And it's honestly, created some interest in me about, you know, just what matters in terms of your retirement and, you know, long-term investing. To be honest with you, before you and I had our first meeting, and I think I even told you this in our first meeting, I was like, retirement, I ain't never going to retire, you know, and you helped me to understand, you know, the value in, it's not necessarily about quitting work and, you know, living off of your investments necessarily as much as it is about, investing, having your money work for you, and just some concepts I never grasped. So and you helped me to realize that. And so, now we are here at the beginning of 2021 at the time of recording this and going live. It's January 14th. Those that are listening after the fact on the podcast or YouTube channel, it'll be a few weeks later, but where we are as a country is a transition from one administration to another, and regardless of who you voted for, what side of the aisle you're on, it's happening. And actually the reason that I reached out and was like, hey, let's get you back on to talk is you put out a really interesting episode on your podcast, I guess about a month or so ago, about how a Biden presidency could potentially affect, you know, the economy. And because here's what I see as I work with different church leaders, there's all these different views of how politics should affect your church and your pulpit. Some take a very active approach, some take maybe a more passive approach in terms of they don't talk about it, they just let it be. But I see on the extreme side of that active, I guess, spectrum, I see a lot of church leaders. I say a lot. It seems to be less and less, which is an encouraging thing. But I do see some that, I mean, they allow the current administration of, you know, presidency to really dictate how they move forward. For example, I'm thinking of a situation where, you know, a pastor did not move forward with some of their original maybe expansion plans in terms of building, all because this is back in Obama, all because Obama was in office. And, you know, anyways, and now things, even since that episode that you put out about Biden, now things are kind of to a new level because it looks like we're going to have a Democratic controlled executive branch, Senate, House. So anyways, I wanted to kind of talk through, you know, your thoughts and how that affects and maybe bring some peace of mind to some people, but also help people understand how they can plan ahead as we move into this new presidential administration.
Yeah. Of course, it's a very controversial topic.
Yeah.
It's a very sensitive topic. I'll just speak more from personal experience, and then I'll try to speak mainly, Luke, to what I know. I'll try to stay in my lane because I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I'm not a church leader. I'm somebody who does financial teaching and financial planning. That's my area. So I'll try to stick to that lane.
And before you get going, I actually do feel like I need to make this disclaimer. Our priority, if you will, and our topics that we discuss, obviously, it's Church Media HQ. And so for those of you out there, the haters, maybe they're like, hey, what does this have to do with media? Well, maybe it doesn't have so much to do with media as it does with church. And again, I want people to be informed. A lot of times you tend to get your news and your information from the side that you lean towards in terms of your sources. And so I'll just tell you this, from a media, as far as the mainstream media perspective, I think we all know that fear-mongering comes from both sides, the news has basically become just it's designed to get you to watch so that they can get advertisers, and one of the greatest ways to get people to view is to talk about bad news and to get people scared and riled up. So anyways, that's kind of where we're talking about this, because as we look ahead in this new year, I just do not want to see church leaders be scared and to be fearful or hesitant when they don't have to be. So anyways, that's my disclaimer. Now back to you.
Yeah. Right. So church leaders, remember, you know, our faith informs our politics. Our politics shouldn't be the one informing our faith. If we start with the premise that our politics have to be right and we, you know, bend and twist our faith and beliefs to fit our political ideology, we're doing it wrong. So we start with what the Bible says. We start with what we know to be true. And then we shape and form and mold our politics and how we view it and how we're involved in it accordingly. But I'll just speak kind of from personal experience. Some years ago, I'd kind of really gone down the rabbit hole of political commentary, just political information. I mean, I was the guy who was, every time I was in the car, I was listening to conservative talk radio. Every night I was watching Fox News. And then, you know, a lot of times I was just visiting different conservative sites. I mean, that was all that I was consuming for hours a day. And so I got really kind of caught up in all that. And by the way, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be informed of politics or be, pay attention to what's going on. I mean, I still do, but I think I had really gotten to that place where, like I had said, my politics was really informing my worldview more than my faith was. So back when Obama won his second term, honestly, like I genuinely felt like America was done. Like I thought it was done. Like it's over.
Yeah.
And what I found was, okay, a lot of my concerns and fears were very much overblown. Not to say that there weren't concerns or things that, you know, were concerning or things that I agree with. What I'm saying is, like, well, kind of like you said, on both sides of the aisle, there's very much a tendency to overblow, to overstate, to fearmonger, and a lot of things. A lot of times, it's not even close to being an accurate representation of what's really going to happen. So I think what we're going to find is a lot of our fears, a lot of our concerns of a Biden presidency are overblown. It's not to say that you can't have legitimate concerns, and there's things that, you know, we can have discussions and agreements or disagreements about policy wise. But I would just caution you, to anybody that's listening, church or otherwise, just to temper your expectations and your concerns with a more objective approach, because we look at, all right, we made it through 4 years of Trump and we're okay. We're still here. Country hasn't burned down. We made it through 8 years of Obama and it was fine. You know, we're all still living our lives, you know? And my expectation is that after 4 years of a Joe Biden presidency, we'll still be just doing okay. Yeah. Now, all that to say, so the episode that I did on my podcast, I just talked through what are the policy, what are the policies that Joe Biden's put out there? What are some of the plans that he wants to implement? And just trying to help understand, all right, here's what are some reasonable expectations. The whole, and when I recorded it about a month ago, it did look like the Republicans were going to hold on to those seats in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Which they didn't.
They didn't. So,
because a lot of the thrust of that podcast was, all right, listen, folks, if the Democrats get a majority, here are some things that they may put in place, but it's probably not going to happen. So don't get too worked up about it. Well, now the Democrats do have an effective majority because they've got a 50-50 split. And then Kamala Harris, as the vice president, would cast the tie-breaking vote. So theoretically now, you know, whatever policies the Democrat Party wants to put in place, they can. Mm-hmm. But the other thing too is, it's like, just because Biden said certain things on the campaign trail doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly what he's going to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like you remember, when Trump came into office, there was a lot of things he outlined during his campaign. Said, I'm going to do this, and he won, and he had a Republican majority in Congress, at least for the first 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, well, here we go. All the things that he said he's going to do, he's going to do. And a lot of them he did, but not all of them, mm-hmm. or at least not exactly how it was outlined during the campaign. So like, for instance, the tax cuts that were passed, they did get passed, but it wasn't exactly how, you know, he had outlined it. The wall. I mean, that was like the big thing.
The wall.
Well, they build some portions of a wall, but they didn't build one gigantic wall stretching from the Pacific all the way to the Gulf, you know, which I think was the expectation a lot of people had.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like that. So, yeah, we know from what Joe Biden has said in his campaign, here are some things that he's planning to do, but will it exactly be that way? Maybe, maybe not. My guess would be it's not going to be exactly how, you know, how people were originally, or at least, or exactly how it, how he had lined it out in the campaign, because that's usually not the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, and something also to, you know, keep in mind is this can be a good or a bad thing, no matter how much you look at it. But the government in general, federal government especially, does not have a reputation of moving fast and of actually getting things done. The thing about, you know, is just because, and again, you're a lot more, I guess, you're a lot more knowledgeable of the political system than I am. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's a lot of things to consider in that. First of all, just because they have a majority in either house doesn't mean that everything's going to go their way, because you have to think about, for example, significant things will require a 2/3 majority. Some significant things require a 60% Senate vote. And
like the Green New Deal. Like, yes. People are talking about the Green New Deal. Okay, that would need, yes, a super majority.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yes,
not a simple majority.
Yeah.
So some of like the concerns about like really kind of the more quote unquote extreme policy proposals are not on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think packing the court is also, you know, because that's one of the things they're worried about, packing the courts. And it's like, well, that also.
So the way that works is they would have to get rid of the filibuster,
mm-hmm,
and allow and effectively end the supermajority and allow just a straight up majority. But I think you're going to see that there's certain people, even on the Democrat side, that, yeah, are going to say, no, we're not doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's this.
I think overall, no matter who's got the majority, I think is a good thing. I think the limitation, yeah, of power is to all of our benefit.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the checks and balances of our democracy and of our government. And so I think that's something also to keep in mind is you can look back at just about every president, pretty much every president, and at least in recent modern history where we have record, and we see that they made a lot of promises during their campaigns. And then they kept some of them and some of them they didn't. And many of them that they even kept were highly modified compared to what they originally promised. And that's just the way that it works, because, again, and it's part of the beauty of democracy is that, yes, the president is a very powerful person, but they are not it's not a monarchy. They don't have this supreme authority where they can just whatever they say goes. They have to have those checks and balances again. So all good. And then one more thing I think that people need to keep in mind, too, is Trump left us with basically a far, not far right, but a balance to the right Supreme Court. And a lot of time, many times, you know, technically the Supreme Court has to rule things if they're constitutional or not when it comes to passing laws and things like that. So it's another thing to keep in mind as well, is that though, and those are, you know, lifetime appointments. And so that could be that way for a while. So anyways, but I mean, let's say in the event that some of this stuff, you know, and I don't even really know. I know that Biden has talked about raising taxes and things, as most people on that side do. But what if some things? What are some things, I guess I should say, that you do believe could realistically come to fruition at least here in the next 2 years when he does have, you know, the Democratic majority there in the Congress?
Yeah, he's outlined, of course, a lot of different things in his plan, but let me kind of hit on some things that I think are likely to happen. First of all, he said he's going to raise the federal minimum wage up to $15 an hour. I think that's going to be done kind of in a stair-step fashion. I don't think it's going to be like a just overnight oats, because right now it's $7.25, and it's been $7.25 for a long time. Mm-hmm. So if you work for the federal government, obviously, minimum wage is $7.25, but minimum wage by state depends on the state. Some states, mm-hmm, go with the federal minimum wage. It's $7.25. Some are higher. Some, I think, are even lower. And then some don't have a minimum wage.
Yeah.
If you don't have a minimum wage. So this doesn't affect everybody per se, but it affects, you know, a significant number of people. So raising the minimum wage over time would be one thing that I think is probably a likely thing. But as far as taxes, there's been a lot of confusion on taxes. I've seen a lot of people posting about if Joe Biden's president, you know, your taxes are going to go up, your payroll taxes, et cetera. And again, I'm not here to make a prediction on exactly what's going to be done. But what I can say is Biden's been very clear from the beginning of his campaign that he says he's only going to raise taxes on people that are making more than $400,000 a year. Could that potentially be different in whatever tax proposals are put through? I suppose it could, but I don't, honestly, I wouldn't think that that's likely for them to just kind of do an about face all of a sudden. But what that means is, unless you're a really high earner, you probably shouldn't expect your income taxes to be going up anytime soon. So in 2017, when the Republicans put through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that was only supposed to be a temporary measure, 8 years. Like the tax income tax rates being lowered, it was a temporary 8-year deal. It expires in 2025. So beyond 2025, I don't know. But really what he wants to do is raise income tax rates for the highest earners. So over 400,000, you're going to go back up to the 39.6% bracket. It's at 37% right now. If somebody makes over $1 million, then they would pay 39.6% even on their capital gains. So, I mean, there's not a lot of people making more than $1 million a year, obviously. But the idea with capital gains is if you buy a stock, you buy a house, you buy shares in a fund and you sell them after a year for more than you bought them, well, then the difference in price, that's your capital gain. But capital gains tax rates are different than like the tax rates on your income, your self-employment. They're lower. So the idea is, well, the really rich people, the really high income earners, they can afford to pay more on their capital gain. So, so that could be something. But honestly, I mean, I think what's much more likely for those who are middle to lower income. So again, for those that are in church work, that's the vast majority of people who are in church work because they're not making a lot of money. So if they're on the lower income side, middle income side, here's some things that actually would be a benefit to your personal finances. He wants to increase the child tax credit. It used to be $1,000 per kid tax credit. And then in 2017, Republicans bumped it up to $2,000. The plan, again, the proposed plan is to bump it up to $3,000 for your kids that are between 6 to 17 years old and $3,600 for kids that are 5 and under. So that would mean, you know, if you're typically seeing a refund at tax time and you got kids, then probably an even bigger tax refund at that time. So that would
I've got a kid, so I'm all about that one. I'll take it.
Right. So, I mean, just from the standpoint of, okay, how is this going to affect me personally, my personal finances? Well, if you have kids, there's one way. And I think that would be again, we don't know until it happens, but I think that would be a pretty likely one to happen. He also wants to bump up tax credits for childcare. So if you have, if you put your kids in daycare or any kind of childcare throughout the year, you could get a tax credit to help with offsetting the cost of that. And then also tax credit for buying your first house. So I think it's good up to $15,000 is the proposal. So depending on the purchase price of your new home, you get a tax credit for your first house. Again, just trying to encourage people to buy a house. And you know, we know historically that's been one of the best ways for people to build wealth over time is by building equity in their homes. And then as far as transfer of wealth over time. So, you know, now there's a debate to be had as far as, well, you know, all of this spending and extra tax credits, is that good for our economy or for our national debt and our government spending as a whole? I guess that's a different discussion. But on a personal level, I would say for those who are low middle income, I think it's a lot more likely that you're going to be receiving some extra benefits as opposed to higher taxes. If you're high income, though, more taxes as opposed
It's coming.
And I think something that people need to realize, too, again, just you kind of take a step back, is that, you know, most people don't, especially, like I said, in church work, if any, are making, you know, are in this bracket that's affected, you know. And not to say that I'm not to say that I'm for it and whatever, but I mean, these rich people, if you will, that they pay high taxes. It's just what happens. That's, and there's really been no, from my knowledge, and again, you have full authority to correct me if I'm wrong here, but from what I've seen, it's like, there's been no president in recent history to make significant changes in that area, you know, at least in the past few decades. They pay high taxes. It's just what happens. And yeah, granted, there's a lot of, some loopholes have been created or discovered and whatnot to where some avoid it, but that's, we're talking about a very small percentage of the population. And so, well, yeah, I think that's you. Thanks for helping us kind of navigate that, because I do. I see so many people that are just almost in panic mode because, you know, Biden's becoming president, and, you know, there's a majority of Democrats in the like I said, in the House and in the Senate, and so it's all coming to an end now. This is a little bit, I know you said you want to stay in your lane. So, if you want to veer right back into it here, but this does affect, I'll use this as a segue. I mean, there's also been, if you will, rumors and talks, of course, nothing that I know of publicly coming from the Biden platform, if you will, but, of, you know, churches, nonprofit taxes, status being affected potentially in the future by, you know, maybe a religious organizations more or less having that removed. I mean, that's been, there's been always, I guess, rumblings of that if, you know, if the left, if you will, takes control. Do you think that's a reality, and at least in the near future, or what do you, how do you see that? Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week, try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.